that's in your heart will turn to grief and shame. Monday passing by, Thursday, Friday too, and he walks in the winter sun, a week past she was due. 2 weeks, 3 weeks passing by, 3 and 4 and 5, and he walked in the winter rain and wished that she could die. December passed, the new year gone, judgment day has come. The doctor sat in the judge's chair, and the judges turned her down. Jimmy won't walk, Jimmy won't talk, Jimmy don't come around. And he's gone to a back street woman to bring the baby down. Turn the floods into that place where love has come and gone. Close the door, and close the door, and Annie's walking home. Slowly, slowly up the stairs to her childhood room. Her bed filled up with red, red blood. Annie died alone. She won't have the boy with the long brown hair. She won't have the one with the curls. She got Jimmy and the devil may care, and Jimmy's good with the girls. Men sit in the judge's chair, on trial. Woman, if you conceive, you must bear your child.
And you're tuned to Free Radio, 96.3 FM, and now we're going to pick up where we left off last program, which was on Thursday. We were interviewing Margaret Payne of Bunny Shoes. She's the woman who got a restraining order against homeless presidential candidate Robert Steffen, who was sitting on the public bench. We're now calling it Bunny's private bench, because apparently that's what it is. If they don't like you, they can move you, or at least if you sit there for a long period of time, they can move you, or if Judge Stevens agrees with them, they can move you. Anyway, that's the situation at the moment. Is this injunction is in place. I guess it's a preliminary restraining order. And the case will be going back to court in a couple of weeks. I don't have the exact date with me. I'm told by my producer it's the 27th of December, and I guess that'll probably be at 10 o'clock is my guess, in the courtroom of Judge Stevens, which is Department 7, if you want to continue. And I'm told now it'll be in Department 4. Thank you, producer. That's actually the master calendar. They're going to assign it out to somebody. Which may give Charlie Stevens, the public defender, a chance to jump on board. He said the reason he didn't want to get involved with this case is because his father, Judge Stevens, was originally doing it, and he didn't want there to be any unpleasant talk or perception of conflict. Although I would think that there are certain cases where, well, I guess the perception would be that the father gives favoritism to the son rather than the opposite. Anyway, Steffen case is coming back to Stevens Court, are coming back to the master court on the 27th, Department 4, at 10 o'clock. And we heard, again, the history of this case is as follows. Robert Steffen is a homeless man who I think, and many of us would agree, is eccentric. That is to say, he isn't your normal, average, ordinary, run-of-the-mill-looking homeless person. He has an umbrella. He has a sort of a bit of a plastic face mask. It's a sort of a bit of a, which kind of shields part of his face. He wears these thick glasses that's kind of hard to, or I should say dirty glasses, you can't see through too well, or he can see through them fine, but some claim that it's strange him wearing these and so forth. And he wears old clothes homeless people wear. and often the clothes look soiled, although frankly, he smells just fine. You know, in the many conversations I've had with him, he claims that he has a bad odor, is not something I've observed, so I've found him just fine, no problem. He's also very mild, soft-spoken, intelligent, articulate, and he seems to have a presidential platform I agree with, frankly. He has all kinds of planks about the right to shelter, decriminalizing drugs to end the drug war, implementing the ERA for not just women, but also for people like homeless people to have equal legal rights. I mean, it's a series of kind of the kind of stuff that all of us were in support of 20 or 30 years ago, if you weren't Reagan Republicans. And you don't get that anymore because the Democrats, of course, have all gone Republican, and the Republicans have gone even further to the right. But it's a refreshing voice. He has a platform out on the street. He was sitting at this bench at Bunny Shoes after he was released from jail. Why was he jailed? He was jailed by the Homeless Services Center for sleeping on their porch. Yes, sleeping on their porch. They wouldn't give him a place in the Interfaith Satellite Shelter Program because of differences of opinion he had about doing work there, which he called make work, and also which he said involved hostile staff. And this was supported by workers down there, Marilyn Weaver and Doug McGrath. Marilyn's on the Homeless Issues Task Force. They agreed that Robert Stephan was being discriminated against. And then when he tried to simply shelter himself on the porch of the Homeless Services Center at night, and apparently other personnel sleep there at night, that's the claim of the members, Marilyn Weaver and Doug McGrath, though I believe it may be denied by Homeless Services Center Director Ken Cole. He was arrested. He was arrested three times. He was told, leave the property, be arrested. He said, if I leave, I face the sleeping ban, I face beatings, I'm not going to leave. Get me a place to sleep that's legal and I will leave. They wouldn't do that, or they said they couldn't do that. Instead, they gave him the jail. He stayed in jail for 30 days, thinking, well, that's safer than elsewhere. Then he was taken to court. Charges were dropped. Came back to the Homeless Services Center, same process. Told to leave. He said, I will if you'll give me a legal place. They wouldn't give him a legal place. Again, another 30 days in jail. Again, charges dropped. The third time this happened, the charges were not dropped. He was taken to a jury trial for trespass. He was found guilty, and then he came to the bunch in front of Benny, the bunch. The bench, it wasn't a bunch of benches, it was just a single bench in front of Bunny's Shoes downtown on Pacific Avenue in Santa Cruz. He stayed there for 6 weeks during the day. And during that time, Margaret Payne and her employees apparently became increasingly nervous with him because they felt that he was looking at them. And that really is the substance of the complaints that are in the three-page narrative and in the discussion that we played last time from Margaret Payne about why she went to court to get this man told that he would have to leave or be jailed. And I have with me in the studio producer and video journalist Becky Johnson. And Becky has also been following this case closely. Becky, any comments on the case? You heard the Margaret Payne interview last week. And you've spoken to Robert Stephan a number of times. You went to the court proceeding. Any thoughts on what's been happening?
I was wondering if there was any mention of Bunny's Shoes, whether they were concerned at all about Christmas sales between, you know, the time that the injunction was filed, and now it's been postponed to, the hearing's been postponed to December 27th. Which Margaret Payne seemed very happy about when we were in the courtroom. And, of course, I don't know, it's my view, I think that she's already won. Her purpose was not because she was concerned that he was staring at her and her employees, but that she wanted him off that bench during her Christmas shoe-selling season, the season of greed.
You say she seemed happy. Why do you say that? Did you talk to her? Did you observe her at the moment the decision was made?
She, when Judge Stevens said, well, we'll postpone this to December 27th, she was all smiles at that point.
I tried to talk to Margaret after the hearing because she was quite forthcoming in this, in the interview, which we're going to play the end of as soon as we're finished with this brief conversation on the air here.
And I witnessed that, and you asked her if she'd be interested in mediation, and she sort of gave you a backwards wave as she walked away, which indicated... no, she was not interested.
She shook her head no.
And why should she? She's already won.
Well, I'm hoping that she'll change her mind. And, of course, the reality is she will only change her mind, I believe, if people want to carry on what Marilyn Weaver and Doug McGrath started two Sundays ago, which is a protest on the bench. And I suspect, I don't think Marilyn and Doug have come back to the bench to do that protest, although they may. And I don't know if that's actually going to happen, but I think a regular protest at the Bunny Shoes bench would perhaps result in some kind of heightening of the issue. And actually, I think, frankly, it might not be a bad idea around the broader issue, because this is what really Robert Stephan is talking about, is the right to shelter in Santa Cruz and the discrepancy between the way the rich and the poor are treated and the utter hypocrisy and kind of sickening commercialism that this pseudo-compassionate season brings in for essentially Christmas commercialism in the last few weeks and until Christmas.
It's interesting, the phrasing of this whole case, in that Margaret Payne and Bunny Shoes are claiming that they're the victims, that because of Robert staring at them and making it seem like it's some sort of sexual harassment issue, when Margaret Payne and her store represent, you know, the wealthy merchants, although she claims how poor she is, ironically.
Actually, and she didn't say that. She just wouldn't talk about her business sales. I found that reluctance kind of strange, because I only asked her general questions about, you know, has your business improved in the last few years? Are you doing okay? Oh, I don't want to talk about that. And if it hadn't been improving, you would have thought she would have said, it hasn't been improving and I resent it because the, you know, it's all those grubby beggars outside are causing problems or something to that effect.
My thing is, issue is, who's the victim here? Here's Robert Stephan, a homeless person who, according to the injunction and Margaret Payne's statements, lives under a bridge.
And also who has been approached repeatedly by either the employees of Margaret Payne or their boyfriends, and he had his cart kicked over on one occasion, shoved on another. He's been verbally abused. There's no allegations of verbal abuse from Robert Stephan to any of the staff. They just claim that he has stared at them.
According to the injunction, Margaret Payne's statement, she said that on one occasion, Robert did approach the manager to speak to her because he was concerned about the boyfriend of one of the employees who had come in and kicked his cart over, and he wanted her to do something about that. And her response was, "Oh my God, he knows I'm the manager," and that somehow was made it, you know, that Robert was devious and up to no good and stalking them or something, which is just ridiculous.
We're talking to you from Free Radio Santa Cruz 96.3. I'm Robert Morris. The other voice you hear is that of Becky Johnson, and the voice you're about to hear is that of Margaret Payne of Bunny Shoes, the owner of Bunny Shoes, who has sought a successful injunction against Robert Stephan, at least is successful at the moment, barring a homeless man from sitting on a bench near her store, a man accused of no violent or abusive behavior. I guess they claim it's harassment that he looks at them. Let's hear a little bit of this. Anything you want to say, Becky, before we do?
I just want to remind your listeners that on community television next week, Channel 71, my show, Club Cruise, will be airing an interview that you did with Robert Stephan. So that'll be not this coming week, but the following week, Tuesday and Thursday at 7 p.m.
So right in time for Christmas, you get to see Robert Stephan getting a taste of the Bunny Shoes Christmas.
Yeah, it's our Christmas show.
Or the Robert Stephan, the Judge Stevens Christmas.
Well, I don't know what he's, you know, what he's really doing. You know, I think he's personally, I think he's a little unpredictable.
Based upon your concern about his walking up and down and reports of his staring at you,
also, you know, when it's pouring rain, you know, he doesn't move. I mean, that's you know, even people running for president might get in out of the rain. You know, I think it's abnormal. I don't think he's very.
I think he's got a screw loose upstairs.
Yeah, I think he's not totally healthy. Yeah, I think he's not totally mentally healthy. I'm not saying that he's. I can't testify to the level of his, you know, mental health. You know, but I don't think he's totally healthy. I really don't. I mean, it's cold. It's wet. And there are a lot of places to take shelter, and still he sat here during the pouring rain for 2 days.
And we're going to interrupt this interview of Margaret Payne to speak in a moment to a caller. I want to make a note, though, of course, that the obvious question one would have is perhaps they could have invited this man into their store or given him some money to go to a coffee shop or suggested some other place he could go. But instead, they're, of course, simply aghast that he's not behaving by middle-class standards and he should be gone. I got to say also that Margaret Payne, I originally was very sympathetic to her. You hear me interviewing her. In fact, I'm saying a number of things that I regret saying later about, oh, well, you know, maybe you are being harassed and so forth, that sort of thing. And I hear, I'm listening to the tape, a very defensive woman who really is acting without justification and also not using the mediation recourse that she could have. She could actually hire, you know, we don't have to hire, ask someone to mediate, as I suggested, and she's rejected that alternative up to now. Let's see what the caller has to say. Hi, you're on the air, caller.
Hey, Robert, Merlin.
Hey, Merlin, you're
on the air. Listen, I heard that tape, too, when you were interviewing her.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, all I kept hearing from her was, you know, not these exact words, but what it all boiled down to was, he's different, he thinks different, he's not normal, he's different, therefore I'm fearful, so I want him gone. And she even admits, if the guy does have a mental problem, I'd consider it harassing a fucking mentally challenged citizen, you know? And if they say that he can't sit there on the bench, I think the bench ought to be removed so no one can sit on that location anymore if it's that offensive to the people at the shoe store.
Well, I understand they actually tried to have it removed, according to one account, but the Downtown Association refused to do it. And indeed, that's what Cat and Canary did in order to disperse young people. And I'm told the last call of the last show had a young person calling in and saying that they removed benches from in front of the Palomar in order to disperse young people there. I don't favor that because I think this attempt to disperse people by removing benches is a form of discrimination, and a form, whether it's age discrimination or because you're discriminating against young people, which also discriminates against old people because old people most of all need to use those benches.
Yep.
And also discriminate. I mean, you know, if the benches, I mean, we've also heard the complaint that, oh, well, Robert Steffen didn't move when other people came and they was taking up the bench too much of the time, but I've never seen all the benches on the avenue taken up, and he always left a place beside him. I sat down occasionally beside him, and I don't know if your average person would have felt welcome or comfortable, but I didn't see them certainly being unwelcome. And I think that, you know, they need to put in more benches, and of course that's what the owner of the hat company, the store next to Bunny Shoes, agreed to, but they may have made no attempt to get more benches put in. It seems to me that the really first night has a really good take on this. That's the celebration that happens at the end of every year. The idea being, although they sometimes don't follow this out as they should, the more people you have down there, the more resources you have down there, then the safer it is and the more hospitable it is for everyone. The way, when you start driving away people, when you start cutting back resources, you leave it open for predators, you know, and you leave it open for people who aren't, there's nobody watching. I mean, my argument has always been Robert Steffen is actually a pair of eyes on the street for safety for people because he sees what goes on all the time, you know, and it's less likely that people are going to try to commit shit around him because he's a witness.
Yeah, well, I'm listening to her say, you know, he's even there in the rain. It's like, Jesus Christ, I'm sure if the guy had a house, he'd probably be in his house.
You know, I don't know about that, although that may well be true. I know that I've said this before, I think that he's there because he has a political cause, and that cause, you know, it's become recently running for president, though he didn't begin that way, but the cause originally was people are being arrested for shelter. You know, for not having shelter, as he was. He was arrested for sleeping on the porch of the homeless services center.
In this liberal, progressive town of ours.
Right. This is the town where Keith Sugar, you know, the most liberal member of the city council, will not put on the agenda his own Homeless Issues Task Force's $10,000 recommendation. Actually, it doesn't cost $10,000. The task force costs $10,000 to stop arresting people, stop wasting police and citizen time and city resources arresting or citing or harassing people for sleeping or camping when there are no safe zones.
Yeah, I was reading the Sentinel a few days ago that Keith Sugar's got some kind of a wish list he wants to for allocating funds.
Did he see anything about the homeless in there?
No.
I didn't either.
and I didn't see anything today, and I didn't hear anything in November when he spoke. The man, you know, he tried to do a good thing or two a year ago. Buyers struck him down, and he hasn't had a word to say ever since.
Well, I invited him on my show on the 28th of December. I don't know if he's going to come on or not.
Oh,
it's up to him.
I'll bang his chops by phone.
Yeah, I wanted him to come on just to play music and kind of get him to know more on a personal level. It's not, you know, my show's never political.
Oh,
but
well.
People can still ask questions,
uh-huh.
No doubt. Who was it? David Silva's coming on next Tuesday.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, about this guy, you know.
When is your show, Merlin?
Huh? My show's every Tuesday, 4 to 7 p.m.
Gotcha.
On 96.3.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, man, it sounds like this guy's obviously, I'm not trying to pick on him, but he's got a wing nut loose or something, you know. But look, here he is. He's not doing anything but sitting there. And
you're talking about Keith Sugar as a wing nut loose?
No, the guy that sits on the bench.
Gotcha, Robert Steffen.
Yeah. And he's just sitting there, and she goes, we can feel him looking at us. And it's like, hey, when I don't know how this is going to sound, but when you get, like, her employees at the shoe store, you get some young ladies that work in one particular store going, gee, he's not like us. We're scared of him. And so what's going to happen to the guy, man? Is he going to get locked up for that because he's not like them? He's not doing anything wrong. I've seen her. He just sits there.
Right.
And they've locked up, and it's already been known. The girls that worked there, one of the boyfriends kicked his cart or something.
Right, kicked his cart, and on another occasion overturned his cart.
Yeah, and now they're trying to make this say, you can't sit here. It's like, man, it looks like to me like that guy's the victim.
I think so.
Me. And I got nothing bad. I mean, I'm not saying anything bad about the Bunny Shoe Store. I don't even know the people, you know, mm-hmm. So I'm not going to say anything.
No, I hear you. I mean, I walked in. I got several interviews with them. They were very forthcoming. But
yeah.
They really had nothing other than their anxieties that justified what they were doing. And it seems to me that it's like, sort of, they think the entire street is their living room, and they can do what they want with it. And if you're a turd in their punch bowl, then they're going to flush you away. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, if you're not like them.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe we should all wear the same clothes and all buy our shoes from Bunnies or something. That way they'd feel better, you know, a little more comfortable in Santa Cruz.
I don't know if that's what it is, but I know certainly that the Constitution is being ignored in this situation. And I think this is another example of the power of downtown merchants that we have to fight. And I encourage people out there, if you're interested in supporting Robert Steffen, to give a call to 423-HUFF, 423-4833. That's the off-air number for Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. Or give a call to the studio to talk about it, and that's the on-air line that Merlin is calling right now, and it will shortly be free, 427-3772. Or just talk to Robert Steffen. He is down there. He's a man who is quite forthcoming. He's not your sort of extroverted politician. He's very soft-spoken, but he's quite clear on the issues that, you know, he's running for. Anything more you want to say, Merlin?
No. Thanks for letting me call in.
Sure.
I'll talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
I would disagree with Merlin that Robert Steffen is a mental case or something. I've spoken to him. He may have a few idiosyncrasies, but he's very he's oriented to time and space, and he knows where he is. He's competent when you speak to him. He doesn't strike me as being a mental case.
Got another caller here. Hi, caller.
Hello there.
Hey there.
Yeah, it's just another form of their class war that they've been waging on anybody that is, of course, different, since there's been a wide history of that in the downtown area of Santa Cruz. One that comes to mind right off the bat is Stuart Martin, who's the manager of the ID building.
Is he still manager?
I'm not sure. I see him in there all the time.
He certainly was manager. I think he's the owner's son.
Yeah, his grandmother owns it or something.
The owner's grandson. And he, of course, was very infamous back in 1994 and 95 and 96 when we were doing protests down there.
Physically attacking homeless people, by
right.
the way. And then calling the police and saying that they attacked him, and then getting, like, these people arrested for battery charges. He tried to charge me for saying that I wanted to assassinate him or some shit while I was playing songs on the mall. And he actually... the cops were going to charge me for terrorist threats for singing music.
What was that song that you were singing? Give us a couple of those terrorist threats.
Shoplifting?
Yes.
There's a song called Shoplifting. It's just
Shoplifting at the Bookshop Santa Cruz?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. It was written in response to the wonderful laws that Neil Coonerty wrote, where you can't sit down on the sidewalk and all those kinds of things. And I think people should start taking things back, like shoplifting.
Downtown ordinances.
Wonderful way of doing that.
Well, that certainly is it puts terror in the hearts of all the merchants, you got to admit, man.
Well, the lies that he said was that I wanted to kill him and shoot Neil Kennedy and kill the cops and blow up the world. And I go, gee, I don't remember those lyrics. And that was in the police report, and I was, like, charged with 2 counts of disturbing the peace. I was arrested.
Who was the officer who arrested you?
Connor Carey was the one who wrote the report, and I was arrested.
That's Connor Carey, who's regarded by many as the killer.
Carey.
Certainly he's the, well, he killed Happy John Dine. Some regarded it as murder, like eyewitness Mike Schultz. Others regarded as justifiable homicide, I guess, like
right.
The police higher-ups, the city council, and the Citizens Police Review Board.
Yeah, I was, I used to be I'm a musician. I've played on the street a lot in the past, not so much anymore. And
I was
harassed constantly by different people like Dell Williams, Jewelers, all these other stores. And it's kind of funny because the bigger corporate stores didn't care because a lot of the workers that were in there were just workers, you know, and some of the bigger stores where there's an owner involved, they have, like, really big issues of their store making it. But the point I wanted to make is that I work in a business downtown, and if I called the cops on every wingnut that came by or came in there or whatever, you know, they'd have to post a cop 24 hours a day outside the business I work at, which I don't want to name right now.
Mm-hmm.
But
well, remember,
it's downtown. It's a colorful part of downtown. I mean, there are people that sit there and scream at the sky. They're not bothering anybody. They're expressing themselves. Whether they're, you know, I agree with Becky saying that Robert is definitely not mentally challenged or whatever. He has all his wits. He's a very intelligent person.
He's also soft-spoken. I mean, it's not like he's disturbing the peace.
Right.
I've never heard him raise his voice, actually.
He just watches people, and there's nothing wrong with watching people.
Well, that can be regarded as a terrorist threat, apparently.
How?
Well,
he wasn't charged for terrorist threat.
No, but that comes later.
I don't think a DA would take any of that seriously.
Well, I mean, after all, the man, you know, kind of frightens those people who believe that really we should have a happy downtown mall without unsightly homeless people sitting at benches for long periods of time.
Yeah.
Have you no sympathy for our downtown merchants?
Maybe they're worried he might be president.
Maybe he already is president.
Well, the same thing happened to me. People are afraid because I was playing music and singing about overthrowing the government and this and that. And, you know, I call them love songs, but other people didn't take them that way. And they've tried to do things like that. Like when I go to court, they would try to get a stay away order. They did that with some of the kids that were on the mall, like some of the drunken publics that were over and over and over again. They got stay away orders from the mall.
Yeah, Tim McGrath got one of those.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
There are other people that were involved in maybe really low key drug dealing, like selling a dime bag of weed or something, that the net team fucking spent all this money and resources to bust all these small-time drug dealers, and then they got stay-away orders from the mall as well as probation time as well. And if they plead to it, which, of course, a lot of people plead to all these stupid crimes.
Because you don't want to bother with the court process, and you also have to worry about losing the trial and so forth.
It's just the continual sterilization of that mall. Ever since the earthquake happened, they've been sterilizing it, and that was their big excuse for doing that. And that's all I want to say. I'll let some other callers call in.
Hey, thank you, Bob.
Thank you.
And that was Skidmark Bob, who indeed has been a musician, a cop watcher. He is a free radio mainstay, probably one of the main reasons the station is here today. He puts in vast amounts of technical work and organizational work and paranoid work, too, I might say. But we won't get into that at this time. Bob is really very articulate on all these issues, and I'm always glad to hear from him. We're listening to a tape, an interview with Margaret Payne, recorded about a week and a half. Actually, I think it's 2 weeks ago Sunday. 2 weeks ago today, I believe, this tape was made. It was made in front of Bunny Shoes as Margaret Weaver of the Homeless Issues Task Force and Doug McGrath, Marilyn Weaver, it's Margaret Payne, the owner, and Marilyn Weaver, the Homeless Issues Task Force advocate. Essentially, she had a sign in front of the Bunny Shoes saying, you know, boycott Bunny Shoes, stop discrimination against homeless people, notes of that sort. And we're going to hear a little bit more from Margaret Payne, and hey, invite your call-ins, 427-3772.
In Scotland,
it certainly shows a strong determination to sit here, doesn't it?
I think, well, that's for sure.
I mean, I know
Francis. I won't argue with that. He definitely has a strong determination. Yeah. That's why, you know, as you mentioned earlier, you know, trying to work something out with him, I don't think that's a possibility.
I always like to see, you know, mediation rather than, because the problem is it tends to escalate, because a lot of us feel it's a bad precedent to have set that without any kind of violence, although, you know, I'm trying to take seriously.
Not violence. Right. Mental harassment. I mean, we're not talking...
You didn't say anything. You said the only mental harassment that I can see you're talking about is staring at the employees, which is real.
Well, also saying that this is our purgatory. I mean, he told somebody that this... That, you know, him sitting here is purgatory for Bunny
Shoes.
My manager does, because she heard it.
And talk to her and see what she says.
And on top, yeah. So.
Interrupting interview briefly, when I spoke to Robert Steffen about the statement, that the claim that he said to the manager of Bunny Shoes, "I am your purgatory," he said, I didn't say this. And had I even been trying to convey that idea, I wouldn't have used the word purgatory, because I'm an atheist. I don't believe in any of those things. And indeed, his sign says there is no God, a sign for which his cart has been denied entrance into Zanotto's market about a week and a half ago. And indeed, his entire sign was ripped off and stolen several days after that. So I wonder about the accuracy of this report that... Margaret Payne is talking about, that he said, "I am your purgatory." And even if he did say it, it's a free speech kind of statement. And it's not something that's a threat of any sort. And I think she's the one who's being paranoid, and she's the one who kind of needs the help. I mean, she's the one who needs the reassurance. And indeed, the history of Margaret Payne, we've talked about this before, is she admits in court documents that her mother was killed by a homeless man. And this certainly is a heavy burden. In a certain way, have one's mother killed by anyone is a serious matter. And when it's killed by a person whom you identify as a part of a group, and that's how she identifies the killer of her mother, as a homeless man, it shows to me a kind of fundamental bias and fundamental understandable prejudice. But we cannot allow that prejudice to impact the civil rights of innocent people who are homeless on the streets, like Robert Steffen. Let's hear some more of Margaret Payne.
I'm sorry, say that again?
No, I was going to say, and he also, you know, has repeated to people that, you know, women buy expensive shoes, and, you know, so it's another reason for him sitting here. Well, I don't know what that means exactly,
but... Again, I think it's a disparity between wealth and poverty. He's saying, look, you know, I mean, a lot of people are homeless advocates, like I, this will talk about... you know, merchants that cater to the wealthy downtown or to the well-to-do, but in the process don't mind clearing the streets of homeless people. I'm not saying that's you, because, you know, you told me that that's not how you regarded other people. This is a very specific case, particular bit of behavior that was, you know, you have been dealing with for 6 weeks in your own sense. But for a lot of us, all the regulations passed in 1994 through Neil Coonerty, don't sit on the sidewalk, you go to jail, you know, don't ask for a dime after dark, even peacefully, that's an infraction, do it twice, it's a misdemeanor. These are laws that are designed to protect a particular class of people and to discriminate against another class of people. And so when I hear about someone who's gotten a restraining order against a person who, up to now, I believe hasn't done anything really wrong. I mean, you know, maybe not
illegal, or, you know, maybe not physically violent, but wrong, again, is a pretty subjective term,
right?
Yeah, it's
a subjective term, sure. Definitely a subjective term. But in terms of, I mean, I try to judge things in terms of, you know, like standards of conduct that we would apply to everyone. And you're saying that if you saw a business person doing what he was doing, regardless of whether he's homeless or not, this would be of concern to you, and you would, after a certain amount of time, take out the same kind of restraining order? Or?
Yes. I mean, it doesn't matter if the person is wearing a suit and tie or, you know, how they're dressed. It's the behavior. It's not what they look like. It's the behavior.
See, I hear... The comment
although
about
I must, you know, I'm not gonna act like I'm stupid. I mean, obviously, the way he looks frightens people. Do you know what I mean?
It repels some people, sure.
Well, I'm sure it repels a lot of people, and it frightens people. You know, so nevertheless, the behavior is really the thing that concerns me the most.
And the behavior we're talking about.
I mean, there are enlightened beings that, you know, walk naked in the streets. You know, that's not to say that, you know, that they're harmful people.
Right.
But if an enlightened being exerted the same behavior that he did, I would do the same thing I did. You know, I mean, that's
for me,
my
enlightened
feeling.
Being
that's my feeling, you know. It's not nice to stare day in, day out, you know. It's not very nice. It's not very respectful.
I continue to think that it would be helpful for you and your manager and one or two of your employees to sit down and just have a conversation. You wouldn't lose anything by it. You might not gain anything. But you know, and there might, you know, there might be, who knows, there might be some harsh words exchanged. But I would think about Robert is a very soft-spoken guy.
Well, there's not going to be any harsh words on my part.
No, I mean, I don't think on his part I would. I'm just thinking that it might be useful to have a mediator, a professional mediator there to say, okay, you say what your thoughts are and feelings, you say what your feelings are, and you've got the supporters, of which I'm one, saying their feelings. And, you know, then you can say, well, at least we tried. We tried to find a way to sit down and do this. We spent half an hour doing this. And from your point of view, I imagine the solution is to have them move on, at least some of the time. Right?
Well, obviously, yeah. I mean, to not...
Well, at least to stop. Would a solution to you be if you agreed not to stare at people? Would that be a solution?
Well, I think that gets a little bit awkward. You know, I don't want to police what direction he's looking in.
Right.
You know what I mean? I mean, I don't want to be watching him to see if he's watching us.
Right.
We shouldn't even have to go there. I mean, he's already done this. You know, he has already done what he's done. And now I feel it's like... It's time for him to leave us alone. He just needs to leave us alone. I think it's fair.
He doesn't find it really him to leave him alone. That's his side of it, you know. I mean, he thinks, hey. I mean, you're not the one who's got the restraining order. He does, right? He's not saying move the shop. You're saying you move alone. I mean, you obviously have the superior rights here, the superior political power.
Well, you know, it's only a temporary restraining order.
Right.
You know that. Right. I mean, I don't make the laws. I mean,
on the 8th of December, you go back to court, and
obviously,
I assume you'll try to get it into a preliminary injunction.
I will follow up, but it's going to be up to the judge to decide whether or not, you know, this is wrong or abnormal or all those words. I mean, it's, you know,
I'll tell you what I first seen, and I'm not, if Maureen and Doug asked me to write a flyer about this situation, I would probably do so. I would write a flyer that talks about the management feels this, but, you know, Robert feels this, and I feel this. I mean, the obvious call is to call for people to break out the store until the restraining order is lifted. But also to request that, you know, that any behavior of people in the area be civil and proper.
Well,
you
definitely.
Know, you know, I mean,
it should always be that.
Sure.
Yeah, there's no excuse for behavior being otherwise.
Sure.
I mean, in my opinion.
I mean, Robert, you know, the first time his cart got knocked over, he said he didn't go to the police. It was the second time.
It didn't get knocked over in the first place.
No,
it never got knocked over. It just got kicked.
Just got kicked.
And on talking to Robert Stephan, I'm interrupting this interview with Margaret Payne. And I talked to him about 20 minutes after I spoke to Margaret Stephan 2 weeks ago on Sunday. He said no, it had been knocked over, and then the next day it was kicked again. So apparently they differ on this. Perhaps Margaret didn't hear of the first incident, or perhaps one of them is misstating the case. In any case, there is a discrepancy here. I myself have never observed any of behavior between Margaret Payne's employees, the Bunny Shoes employees, and Robert Stephan.
And so I can't testify, nor have I heard anyone else who has ever observed it. Robert Stephan has claimed that there have been repeated instances of verbal harassment and ridicule, and that there was this incident where his cart itself was kicked over by an employee. And that was confirmed, actually, secondarily by one of the employees when I interviewed the employees. And I may play those interviews at some point, but I'm mainly interested in having people out there, you, the listening audience, hear what the owner of a downtown business is saying is the justification for a restraining order against a homeless person who's engaging in no violent behavior. And really, I don't see any even abusive behavior. Obviously, Margaret Payne disagrees with me. Let's hear some more of her.
No, I didn't see it personally.
No, but they could well be.
This is what I was told.
This is a report.
That's what I was told.
No, I didn't see it either, so I got to be honest with you there.
That's what I was told. It got kicked. It moved 3 inches. So, you know, that's exactly what I was told. Because I said to the employee whose boyfriend did it, I said, he kicked his cart. What did he do that for? He kicked over. No, he didn't kick over his cart. He just kicked it with his foot. And I said, well, you know, tell him to lay off the guy. That's
right.
What I said. Anyway.
I think you should.
You know, I'm kind of uncomfortable.
So it's about.
And that was the substance of what Margaret Payne told me 2 weeks ago. We talked a bit further, and she actually broke down in tears. She felt so upset about the situation. And I don't know what to interpret by that. At the time, I was very moved by her, and I thought maybe, you know, we have a situation of a person who really is tolerant of a lot of different people, who actually is telling the truth when she says that she's never called the police on a homeless person before. But, you know, I mean, there are, of course, a number of questions I didn't put to her, like, do you favor the sleeping ban law? You know, did you favor these downtown ordinances when they were passed that make it illegal to sit on the sidewalk, and as that previous caller talked about, to engage in peaceful spare changing? And there are a lot of questions I didn't ask because they weren't part of the specific issue. So I didn't have a real sense of that, what her position was. And I was moved by her tears. But on reflection, on hearing this tape, I'm frankly less moved. And if Margaret, if you're out there and you're listening to this broadcast, and I did tell Bunny Shoes about my show times, and she may be listening to this, or one of her employees may, please feel free to call in and, you know, give your perspective here. And the phone number, for those of you who are listening, and anyone can call in, is 427-3772. Becky, you had something you wanted to say.
Yeah, I was wondering if Robert Stephan had gone over and kicked her shoe stand and moved it 3 inches, what would have happened then?
I think we know what would happen then, and I think it really shows very, very vividly the disparity between how a poor person is treated and how a merchant is treated for doing exactly the same kind of behavior.
Right. She's the victim and he's the perpetrator. The man who sleeps under the bridge is the perpetrator, and the wealthy store owner is the victim.
And the question is, how do we deal with it? And again, I say, if there is out there enough interest in doing a picket in front of the store, I would love to set up a table there and do it. Give me a call at 427-3772 on the air to talk about it, or off air at 423-4833. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM.
Yeah, we were upset about what Judge Stevens did, where he's basically granted this injunction against Robert Stephan, based on, even in the text of it, where the owner of the store has alleged that Stephan was the victim of an assault, of two assaults, and Stevens has granted that, and then at the hearing on December 8th, he continued it, the injunction, to stay in effect till the 27th. What is he doing? Why is he violating and limiting the rights of Robert Stephan to be in a public space based on, you know, where's the evidence that Robert did anything that is criminal in nature or justifies this kind of action?
Well, it's interesting you should ask that question, Becky, because I'm going to give you that evidence right now.
And baby.
I'm going to give you evidence of a crime. In fact, we're going to talk to the public defender of Robert Stephan. This is the man who defended Robert Stephan when he was tried by a jury for trespassing. This was the third time he was arrested. He stayed 30 days in jail on each of these occasions without even going to trial for the first two occasions. On the third occasion, he was taken to trial for the charge of violating the sanctity of the homeless services center, which is vacant at night, But apparently his wanting to sleep on the porch was, a slumber too far for Ken Cole, the Homeless Services Center, and the Homeless Services Center staff. And, you know, I say that rather harshly, and I got to tell you that I like Ken Cole. Ken Cole is the person who's been behind the most recent resolution that says to the city council from the Homeless Issues Task Force, of which he is the vice chair, stop the sleeping and camping bans until there are safe zones. It takes a lot of courage for a person hired by the Catherine Byers Board of Directors of the Homeless Services Center to do that. Still, he was the responsible head of that department and made that call when the choice was made to have him evicted from the property on threat of arrest and not to provide any alternate place for him. So, unfortunately, the chips fall there. And what we're going to talk, who we're going to hear now, is we're going to hear an interview that happened about a month and a half, 2 months ago, with Charlie Stevens. That, as I told you, is Judge Stevens' son, who also happens to be the public defender who defended Robert Steffen, our man with the umbrella, the homeless man who is down there on Pacific Avenue, who has been barred from the Bunny's Bench and was arrested for simply seeking shelter and essentially, when he was refused it, going to sleep and refusing to move from the porch of the Homeless Services Center. And let's hear that tape now.
I've got to run, so I got to keep it brief.
We're talking to
Charlie Stevens.
Charlie, you were the public defender for Robert Steffen, a homeless man who served 90 days in jail, essentially for three instances. Well, he's charged twice with trespass for sleeping.
It ended up being a little less than 90 days, but it was close.
And he finally went to a trial because he hadn't been convicted of anything. He simply was held pending trial for a total of 90 days.
Yeah.
And at the end of the third situation, he actually was taken to trial on a charge of trespass. Who are the witnesses against him?
It was a couple of, I guess, say, reluctant witnesses. I don't remember off the top of my head.
Were they employees of the Homeless Services?
They were, and I gotta say, they tried to, in my opinion, help out Robert to the best they could. I don't think they wanted criminal charges pressed against Robert. I think they felt that they were given no alternative.
Well, they could have declined to testify.
Well, they would have been subpoenaed. I mean, they were under subpoena, which means they could have been subject to criminal prosecution had they refused.
You could have said they didn't remember.
Then they probably would have been lying. They testified honestly, as I said. I believe the individuals who testified.